Is it lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? It's a good question. It's a question Jesus asked in Matthew chapter 20. Let's look at this parable that Jesus tells. A parable to teach, first off, and most importantly, the focus of it, the principle that he just stated at the end of chapter 19. Many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And so he's telling this parable now to emphasize this point that he's making. And you know, having read what Jesus had to say about the dangers of wealth, the temptation of loving money, and the difficulty with which a rich man would enter the kingdom of heaven, after reading that, some might be led to believe that Jesus thought money was evil, that any wealth of any kind was a bad thing. But that certainly is not what he was teaching by these things. He simply talked about the struggle that human beings have with overcoming the temptation of making monetary things or possessions their God. The example in this parable that he tells in chapter 20, in fact, would be quite impossible without a man of wealth. This man that is the landholder, the lord of his house, the goodman of the house, he's also referred to as, the owner of this vineyard, he's wealthy enough that he has land, and he has the ability to pay several workers. Not just hire one person, but he actually has the money to pay several people. And in fact, in this parable, this wealthy man represents God. And so, it's interesting that just after all of the talk about the rich and the wealthy and the dangers of that, now Jesus turns around and uses a wealthy individual as an example for them to understand God better. Now this man at the beginning of the chapter, in the beginning of the parable, goes out early in the morning. We might guess that it's around sunrise. That he goes out into the marketplace and he's looking to hire some laborers to go pick the grapes in his vineyard. Or to weed in his vineyard, or to trim in his vineyard, whatever job he has for them. He wants them to go out and work in his vineyard. And so he comes early in the morning to get some men. Now, maybe he got everybody that was there at that time, or maybe he just got the number that he thought he needed at that time, but he takes several of the workers with him, and they agree to be paid a good pay for the day. It was a common payment for the day. We might say today something equivalent to minimum wage. The King James calls it a penny. The Greek is actually the word a denarius. But basically that was one day's pay for a common laborer. These were not people who had special skills. These weren't merchants. These weren't ship masters or anything like that. These were just your common everyday laborer who could go out and dig a ditch or pluck off some grapes or weed or just do the manual labor. And so he finds some workers and they agree to the price. He tells them, I'll pay you a penny a day, a denarius for the day's work. And they agree to that. And it sounds good to them and they're glad to have a day's work and to be able to feed their families and so forth. You know, at this time, the common laborer didn't work for a week or 2 weeks or a month before getting paid. They got paid by the day, a day laborer. And so these individuals wanted work, and he gave them work, and they agreed on the price. And everything sounds above board and sounds fair at this point. Well, the third hour of the day, Matthew says, which would be about 9 o'clock in the morning, about 3 hours after the sunrise, 3 hours after the 6 a.m. time anyway. About 9 o'clock in the morning, the third hour of the day, maybe he realizes he needs more workers. Maybe he's got more work to do. Maybe there's something else that's come up, and he's going back to the marketplace and he finds some more laborers there. There's some there that haven't gotten a job yet, and so he hires them. Told them at this point he doesn't arrange for an exact payment. He only says, I'll pay you what is right. I'll pay you what's fair. They trust him. They say, okay, we'll go. And so they go to work. He comes back about noon and again at 3 o'clock in the afternoon at the sixth hour and at the ninth hour. And again, there are still some people standing around there. And so he gets them and makes the same promise to them. You come work for me in my vineyard, I'll pay you what's fair. At 5 p.m., almost the end of the workday, don't know exactly what season it was, certainly if it was the summertime, it would have been light a little longer, but certainly in this time of year, it's starting to get dark by 5 p.m. It's not a lot of daylight left. And yet at 5 p.m. he goes out to the marketplace and there were still some standing around not working. And so he asks them why they aren't working. What's going on? You're standing around. What's going on? And they say, well, no one's hired us. Now the accusation, of course, is made later on that these that he hired at 5 p.m. only worked for 1 hour. I don't know. They certainly couldn't have worked very many hours before it got dark. Two or maybe three at the most in the middle of the summertime. It may not get dark till 8 or 8:30, something like that. And they might could have worked a couple or 3 hours, but they certainly didn't work like those that he got early in the morning. But he hired them. He said, come on. It was the way of the day. The laborer who didn't have a skill, who wasn't a servant of someone or wasn't engaged in a certain task, would go to the marketplace and wait to be hired. Some days, maybe they didn't get hired like these men. These men probably were about to give up hope. They probably thought, it's hopeless. We're not going to get any work today. If you don't get any work, you don't have any money. If you don't have any money, it's hard to feed your family. This man hires them and says, I'll give you what's fair. Don't know what they were hoping for. Anything would have helped, wouldn't it? Something's better than nothing. And so these last ones go ahead and go to work for him. Well, they worked till dark. When it got dark, he called the steward. He says to the steward, it's time for them to get paid. Get the money. Pay them. Start with the last ones I hired and go all the way back to the first ones I hired. Now, everything was fine up till this point. No problem. But when they started paying, the ones who had only worked that last little bit of time, that shortest period of time, got a denarius. They got that penny. They got the full day's wage. Generous man. He only got an hour or two's work out of them, and yet he pays them a full day's wage. And of course, the ones that had worked 3 or 4 hours, that came on at 3 o'clock, they got paid that. The ones that had come at noon got paid that. Ones that had come at 9 o'clock got paid that. But when the ones that had started early in the morning, maybe they started at sunrise, maybe they started about 6 o'clock in the morning, and they'd been working for 12 hours or more by this time. They thought they should get paid more. Now why do you suppose they thought that? Hadn't they agreed, we'll work for you today for one penny, for one denarius? Isn't that what he said he'd pay? Isn't that what they had accepted when they went to work? And yet, when they looked around and they started noticing hey, those guys just showed up a couple hours ago and they're getting paid the same amount that he said he'd pay us. You know how rumors work? Can you imagine this group saying, oh, he's paying them, but I bet he's going to give us more than that. Oh, we may get paid twice that much. Now, they had no reason to think that. The homeowner, the vineyard owner, had not said anything to make them think that. There was no reason whatsoever for them to expect that they would get anything other than what they had agreed to. And yet, when they got what they had agreed to, what was their attitude? Were they grateful for having had a day's work and having a day's pay to go home to their family? Nope. They were not grateful. Instead, they murmured and complained and griped about the man who had given them a day's work and a day's wage. Now, he could have left them in the marketplace and let them sit there all day and not get any work and not have any money. But he hired them, and he agreed with them how much he was going to pay them, and then he paid them that amount. And then they got angry. Why did they get angry? Well, they got angry because somebody else got paid the same amount. Now, they didn't get angry because the others who came at the same time they did got paid the same amount. They got angry because the ones who came later in the day got paid the same amount. And they speak up about it. They say, it's just not fair. These that came last, they've only worked an hour. And you've made them equal to us, and we've borne the burden and the heat of the day. We worked all through the hottest part of the day, and you're just treating us just like you treat them. Kind of sounds like some folks I know. He answers them. No, I'm not doing you any wrong. I haven't cheated you in any way. Didn't you agree to come work for me today for this price? Well, sure they did. Sure they had. Now, Jesus often, even in parables or even in His other teaching, used these rhetorical type questions where the answer is obvious. Didn't you agree to that? Yes. That's what they'd agreed to. They thought they should receive more. Why? You see, this is the problem that we have in work, in the church, in the family, in anywhere, when we start comparing ourselves one to another. We start looking, well, I'm doing more than so-and-so, and they're not carrying their weight around here. So-and-so is just, they should work harder, and this one should do this, and that one should do that. And so many times we begin to sound just like these workers who gripe at the goodness. Because that's really what was happening. The fact is, he was being generous and charitable to those who had been looking for work all day and hadn't been able to find it, and so he gave them enough money to feed their families and take care of their families. It was an act of charity and kindness for him to give those people some money. Can you imagine? If one of these workers who had worked all day then went back to the marketplace with this master of the house, and as the master of the house was going into the marketplace, there was a blind beggar there, and the blind beggar tossed the denarius into the beggar's cup? Well, I suppose they would have gotten angry at that too, wouldn't they? That's not fair. He didn't work at all. Now, certainly Jesus is not telling us that we shouldn't work hard. He's not trying to say that we should only do half the work and still get the full pay, although that seems to be the way some workers want it to work. But that's not His point. His point is that when this good man was generous and charitable to some people who had families to feed, instead of others looking on that and saying, that's a good man that he gave them that money that they didn't even really deserve, they hadn't worked for. What a good man that he was generous to them. Instead of that, they griped and complained because he didn't give them more. You see, the good old expectations mentality, entitlement mentality that we have from some today in our society is nothing new. It's been around for 2,000 years. That's what these folks had. They thought they were entitled to this other man's wealth somehow. Now, they were entitled to that denarius, that penny. They were entitled to that because that was the arrangement that was made. And if he had withheld that from them, why then he could have been in big trouble. And Jesus would not have proclaimed him a good man if he had been that kind of a man who would have cheated the laborer out of his wages. James talks about the person that does that in the book of James. He says, woe unto you, for the cries of the workmen have come up before God, the Lord of Sabaoth, because you have withheld the wages of the workers. But that's not what this man had done. This man willingly paid the wages of the workers, and even paid some of the workers more than they deserved. I have a feeling that some of us at times have been paid more than we deserved. Many workers today in our society are probably being paid more than they deserve. Some probably out there that are working harder and deserve more. Maybe so. The owner tells them to take their money and go. He's not going to change his mind. He's going to pay the ones that came last the same as the ones that came first. And then he asks two questions of these workers. And basically, they are, have I broken the law? And have I not done what's good? Those are the two questions that he basically asks. He words it a little differently. He says, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with what is mine? Didn't he have the right to give his money to the person he chose to give it to? It was his money. Well, sure he did. That's what Jesus points out there. And then, so yeah, did I do something wrong? Did I break the law in some way by doing that? No. Well, maybe in our society today, you don't have the right to do what you want to with what's yours. They make more and more laws to take away money from some and give it to somebody else and all these kind of things. But according to God's law, a person who owns something has the right to do with that what they want to do with it. Now, we need to understand, we're not in the position of the vineyard owner here. We're one of the workers. Sometimes we have the same attitude toward God that these workers, these ungrateful, insolent, rebellious. You know, here is this, he's given them money, and instead of being grateful, they're murmuring and complaining about it. Isn't that the way people do God sometimes? He gives us so much good, so many wonderful blessings, and then people gripe and grumble about it. It's what the children of Israel did in the wilderness, isn't it? He had given them so much good, and they just grumbled and griped and complained. The second thing, the question that he asks them there is your eye evil? In other words, are you thinking bad thoughts? Because I am good. Are you thinking evil thoughts toward me because I've done something that's good and kind? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we're greedy. Sometimes we're jealous and envious, and we see somebody else has something that we don't have, and we think, well, why did God let them get that, and they didn't let me have it? That's a bad attitude. But particularly the spiritual application, I mean, there's obviously the physical thoughts that go along with that, but the spiritual application of what Jesus is pointing out is got to do with the first being last and the last being first is not about the workers in the vineyard getting paid. What he's talking about is the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about how it's going to work in God's kingdom. There are some that may come in late in life and may not serve God long. And there are others that may come in at an early age and serve God all their lives. But on the day of judgment, all of those who have served Him faithfully are going to receive the same pay. They're all going to receive that home in heaven. Doesn't matter if they served a month or 50 years. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. He comes back to that in verse 16. And then he rounds it out by going even further. For many are called, but few are chosen. You know, if some of those workers that came on in the morning decided at 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning that they'd had enough of that and they left and went home and didn't finish out the day, they weren't going to get paid. If there were some standing in the marketplace when he went looking for workers and they said, hey, come work in my vineyard, and they said, well, you know, I really just don't do that kind of work. That's not the job I'm looking for. They wouldn't be chosen. Jesus says that many are called. In fact, really, if we think about it, God calls everyone. He calls all. But not many are chosen. Only a few. It goes right along with what Jesus said about the wide and narrow gates, doesn't it? That there are only a few that find the right path. We have to watch out for our envy of other Christians, jealousy of other Christians. We have to watch out for our attitude toward God, thinking that somehow He's mistreating us or not giving us what we deserve. We're right about that. He's not giving us what we deserve. Without a doubt, every single one of us deserves nothing better than an eternity in suffering for the sins we committed. But He has chosen to be gracious and good. He's chosen instead to offer us forgiveness of our sins and salvation and a home in heaven with Him. And if He's willing to offer that to us, and He's willing to offer that to someone else, why would we begrudge somebody else that opportunity to come to Christ, regardless of what they've done in the past? We need to learn the lesson that Jesus is teaching us here. Not think just because we've been Christians longer that somehow we automatically do a pay raise from God. It doesn't work that way. We signed up with the understanding that if we'll be faithful to death, He'll give us the crown. And others sign up with that same understanding. And some may sign up when they're 15, and some when they're 30, and some when they're 50, and some when they're 80. But everyone that comes into the kingdom comes in with the same expectation. You expect that because you served God longer, you'll have a nicer mansion in heaven than somebody else? See, Jesus is trying to get us away from that kind of thinking. And yet that's kind of the way our society is set up in compensation in the physical realm. If you've worked longer, you have seniority, you get raises, you get promotions, you get... But it doesn't work that way in God's kingdom. God's kingdom is not America. It's different. It's His kingdom. It's His rules. It's not a democracy. We don't get to vote on it. And we better not think we could form a union and go on strike either. It won't work. God just fire us all if we try to do something like that against Him. We come, we serve Him, and we're grateful to Him, and we receive His blessings. If you haven't had the grateful attitude toward God that you should have had, it is time to get that attitude right. Time for an attitude adjustment. If you've had another attitude problem, maybe you've been envious or jealous of your fellow Christians, God's other servants, you need to correct that problem as well in your attitude. Straighten your attitudes out. Look to God and be grateful for what He's giving, and don't be jealous and envious of others. And realize that what's most important is our relationship with God, being faithful servants to Him. And we will receive what is right. We'll receive the reward if we'll do that. If you're here and you have a need to respond to God's invitation, please do so as we stand and as we sing.